In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on October 27th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is Ethan Lee, fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm fine for the 18th time. 18 shows now. And this is one of the better shows because it's actually coming off of a good time. Good time we had Saturday. I hope you had a good time. I know you had a good time, Ethan, because not only did Mississippi State win, but, your most hated team lost. So congratulations to you.
But I mean, I'm happy about that, but it's also tough for me because they lost to Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. But I know you were rooting for Texas A&M, and you are rooting for Ole Miss and picked Ole Miss and blah, blah, blah.
No. Don't mistake this as I'm rooting for Ole Miss. I was rooting against A&M. Those are two different things, sir.
You don't want the mafia going after you.
Oh, well, they can come after me all they want.
I ain't
scared.
You ain't scared, whatever that is. On the show today, we're going to talk about Mississippi State's 42-16 win over the Kentucky Wildcats, the biggest Mississippi State margin of victory, that is, Mississippi State's had over Kentucky since 2007, when we traveled to Lexington. I believe that was the week after Kentucky beat eventual national champion LSU. So that's fun. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the SEC and how I am now trailing a point, but that's irrelevant, because that's just stupid to talk about. And we're going to get to some questions that one person sent, but we got like 5 questions from him, which is very kind. So
they're great questions.
They are good questions, and we like good questions here. So other people send us good questions. So let's start with Mississippi State's 42-16 win over Kentucky. And I think we should start off, I'm not going to go with our normal recapping procedures simply because of the obvious performance here that I am currently looking at of one Dak Prescott, a performance that won him the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, which is fun. I don't know how many times he's won that now. Like,
I think it's his first time this season.
I believe so too. How many times did he win? I know he won it after the Auburn game last year. Did he win it after the A&M game? No, that was Bo Wallace. No, Bo Wallace and Dak Prescott shared it after the A&M week.
That's right.
And I think that may have been it, because I don't think he won it after LSU.
Which is surprising, because he's had such great performances. I mean, he had a phenomenal performance in the Orange Bowl and didn't get it there.
That was just because our defense fell flat on our face against a Georgia Tech team that it was a lot better last year than it is this year, with the exception of this one week.
I blame Jeff Collins for that.
Yeah, probably.
He blocked me on Twitter for that.
He did block you on Twitter.
Yep.
Future Miami head coach right there. Hashtag psycho defense. Hashtag turn up. Hashtag juice. Hashtag points. Hashtag.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up at UCF.
No, Houston Nutt's going to take that job, Ethan. Houston Nutt's taking
that job. Well, Mac Brown's going to end up at
South Carolina.
Houston Nutt is going to be
at UCF.
Down in South Beach, UCF.
Yeah.
Except South anybody Beach, else that's South, been washed
South
up?
South Beach is Miami, not Orlando.
They're right next to each other. I'm not going to say Disney World.
Why not?
I don't care. Point is,
Okay.
Are there any other washed-up coaches that are going to be head coaches next year?
Is Lane Kiffin considered a washed-up coach?
No, he's still coaching.
Well,
Butch Davis is one name that's been thrown
out. No. Well, yeah, but I'll tell you who Miami should hire. I'm never going to be able to pronounce this guy's name. Howard Schnellenberger.
Who is that?
The 81-year-old Howard Schnellenberger, head coach at Miami from 1979 through 1983, where he won a national championship in 1983.
Why not? You know?
And, I don't know why he left. Oh, yes. This is really unfortunate for Mr. Schnellenberger. He left Miami for the USFL and was going to become part owner and general manager and head coach of the Spirit of Miami. And it disbanded before he could coach it.
Yeah, that's not good.
So then he went to Louisville.
That's not good.
So then he went to Louisville and did stuff. And then he was at Oklahoma for a year. And then he went to FAU and did stuff. And now he's 81 years old and will become the next head coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
Perfect.
Anyways, to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott had not that bad of a game, if I must say so myself. First of all, he actually ran the ball. And you know how much I love Dak Prescott running the ball. And Dak Prescott ran the ball in a limited fashion, because 13 carries isn't as much as he did last year by any means, but still had a terrific performance on the ground. 13 carries for 117 yards, 3 touchdowns, which is an average of 9 yards per carry. And through the air...
See, and he...
What?
Oh, okay.
No, you go ahead. You go
ahead.
No.
I was just going to touch on the 13 carries, and I was saying, you know, that's the upper limit of what I would want out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't end up having to do much scrambling. Was he sacked maybe once? I don't know.
Once.
So it's just once. So, yeah.
Pat, through the air, he was not that bad of a 25 for 35 for 348 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he threw an interception, which is very sad. And he ends his streak as the third most consecutive passes without an interception. First interception he's thrown since December 31st, 2014.
Yeah. It just wasn't a great throw. It was underthrown.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really no separation from, I think it was Fred Brown.
Yeah, when the ball was coming down, you could tell, oh, this is probably going to be an interception.
Yeah, it wasn't a great throw, but all in all, he hasn't had many not great throws. I mean, he's had a few poor throws, but this one is an interception. It's obviously a bad throw. He hasn't had many absolutely bad throws this year, so... You know, his first interception of the year, I'll take that.
Also, give credit...
He's got 14 touchdowns to 1 interception.
Yeah, so. Not bad. And also give credit to Fred Ross, who has a completion percentage of 1,000.
Yeah, he did not...
Or 100, sorry.
Have... Yeah, this isn't baseball.
I'm sorry,
He didn't have
like
a great
baseball.
Game... He didn't have a great game receiving-wise. That was one fantastic pass.
It was, and it was a terrific catch from Daronya Wilson, too.
Absolutely.
And I was about to mention when you said he didn't have a great game receiving, that we had 6 guys with over 20 yards worth of catches, and not one, and Fred Ross wasn't one of them.
It feels like either Daronya Wilson can have a great game, or Fred Ross can have a great game. You can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of someone who had a fantastic game through the air, Brandon Holloway.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I've been on the move Shump to H-back, move Shump to wide receiver train.
Yep.
Let's put Shump at H-back, Brandon Holloway at slot receiver, and then go. You know?
Brandon Holloway had 5 receptions for 98 yards and a touchdown.
And he had one really long run. What was it, at the end of the half, first half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So, because that drive went like 3 plays, 80 yards, in a matter of 20 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. It was a complete pass to Brandon Holloway for 63 yards.
There you go.
Also, not that bad of a game from the other tight end, Darian Hutcherson, who had 3 receptions for 40 yards and a touchdown. And, of course, Jarnie Wilson, 4 receptions, 91 yards, and a touchdown. And also, Donald Gray had 5 receptions for 56 yards.
Yeah.
Which I believe is his career high for receptions in Mississippi State.
So, you just look at our receiving core, our tight ends, you know, Gus Wally goes down, and we're thinking, oh no, Darian Hutcherson, yeah, he's not Gus Wally. There's going to be a drop-off. There's really no drop-off there. And if anything, Hutcherson has more upside because of how freaking big he is. I don't know if he's still in or not, but I had statistics with him. Haven't seen him recently. He may have dropped the class and taken another section, or I don't know how athletes do it. Whatever. That's not my business. Point is, I saw him in class. The dude barely fit in the desk. Like, mm-hmm. He's a giant.
And also, yeah. You know where Donald Gray is from, right? Don't you, Ethan?
Some terrible town north of here.
No. 2 things.
Yes.
Memphis is not terrible. 2, Memphis is not a town. It's a city. And 3, you've told me that you've been to Memphis once and you only went to the zoo. How can you assume
it's a nice zoo?
It is a nice zoo. It has nice pandas.
I've never really heard much good about Memphis. Just gonna put that out there.
We have good food. We've got good barbecue ribs. Dry rub ribs. Gotta love them. We have...
I don't really like ribs, honestly.
What?
Like, ribs aren't my thing.
Is there something wrong with you, Ethan?
Well, I mean, there's several things wrong with me, but...
Oh.
That's a topic for another show. So...
Oh.
Welp. So, just more on this recap. The defense played well, especially our pass defense. Tevez Calhoun had one of his greatest games ever.
Yes, 2 interceptions for Tevez Calhoun, and that was right after I thought that our secondary was going to be done for the entire year when he came off the field not putting any weight on his legs. I thought our secondary was done. I texted you that he wasn't in the locker room, that I said he was going to the locker room because he was walking over. I'm thinking, oh no, he's going to the locker room, getting help, going to the locker room, but really he was just going to the sidelines to sprint. So.
I'm not sure if he had a cramp when he jumped up and then landed and whatever. I don't know what happened.
I thought that he had some ridiculous...
But the man...
What?
I was just going to say, the man has had several instances where he's been... Where we thought he's gone down and then he just comes back in the next play. I don't know what he's made of, like why he heals so quickly, if he's Wolverine or something. But I'll take it. Because... 2 fantastic interceptions. The second one, I think it was on SportsCenter. So
yes, he tipped it up to himself and then caught it.
Yeah.
And when Tevez Calhoun got injured, was coming off the field, I thought he had some ridiculously severe leg injury because once again, he was putting zero weight on neither one of his legs. He was putting no weight. He was floating. Of course, he was being picked up.
He was being carried.
He was being carried, but he had no weight on either one of his legs. So I was thinking, oh, he's done for the year. And then he comes back 5 minutes later. Once again, as you mentioned, he could be Wolverine. I mean, we could be watching him. Whatever. I would like to say one thing before we wrap this recap up. Last year, and actually I'd be quite intrigued to get the exact stats for last year. Bear with me for 30 seconds. Last year, we saw one Patrick Toles throw for 390 yards and 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, which was probably, without a doubt, his best game ever. This year,
against the number one team in the nation.
Yeah. And this year, we see him throw for 218 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So, that's very pleasing to see just the incline of our defense against Patrick Toles. And quick question for you, Ethan.
Go for it.
Do you think the reason why this happened was simply because we put pressure on him? Because he was only sacked once. He wasn't sacked a lot. I'd noticed that we just put
there was,
yes.
There was a lot of pressure on him. He had to move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line did not hold up.
Yeah.
What?
I was saying that the interception that he threw to Corey Thomas, the last interception, Wait a minute. Timeout. Tevez Calhoun had 2 interceptions. Corey Thomas.
Yes.
This stat sheet's wrong. Patrick Toles had 3 interceptions. 3 what? Interceptions, because Corey Thomas had one.
What?
This one's wrong. And really, he actually had 4 if it weren't for Jonathan Calvin doing something stupid. So, 3 interceptions for Patrick Toles. I was watching the replay last night, and his last interception to Corey Thomas, he was getting, there were about two guys just all over him, and he just had to just throw it as quickly as possible, just a little flick of the wrist. Then nobody was remotely around Corey Thomas. He just, like, he threw it like he thought that Corey Thomas was wearing a white uniform.
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you to the black uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. And they were, not only were they good-looking black uniforms, but we won big, just like I said we would, in these black uniforms.
We did.
So
we then, I guess that'll wrap it up for that. Any thing in particular you want to add?
Mississippi State, if they play like that the rest of the year, things could get really interesting against Alabama. I fully believe that if Mississippi State plays like they did the past 2 weeks, here on out, and in what is it, 3 weeks, things will be fun. So.
All right.
Yeah, I know you don't necessarily agree.
No. No.
But you were also wrong about how we'd play on black uniforms. And we are entering the home stretch.
Well, then are you saying we should wear black uniforms against Alabama?
I'm saying we should wear black uniforms forever.
So our colors will be maroon,
my point,
white,
my,
and black?
Wait, just...
And gold?
Because totally
we're probably
okay going to
wear gold uniforms again in the Egg Bowl?
Would you just let me finish my point here for just 1 second?
I'm going to mute
point
myself.
Is, okay. My point... point here is that we're entering the home stretch of our greatest quarterback's career, and he is, the past 2 weeks, has played on a whole nother level than he has for most of his career outside of a few games last year. If we continue this, if somehow we enter some sort of magical run that I wrote about, I think it'll be fun to watch, and I think regardless of how it plays out, we're likely going to get 9 wins with the way we're playing right now. Even if we don't beat Bama, you know, that there's 9 wins there. 10 wins possible in the bowl game. That's a very successful season. But I do think it's going to get fun against our friends to the east of us. So.
Yes. So, let's get into some SEC football stuff. Ethan Lee took a 1-point lead.
You're welcome.
No. I never thanked you.
You're welcome.
I never thanked you. Why are you saying you're welcome? Genuine question.
So, the Auburn-Arkansas game.
Why won't you
Arkansas
answer
my
question? Arkansas
wins 54-46 in four overtimes.
I feel discriminated against.
I was just... Because we were watching this game for a little bit.
We were.
On the North Jumbotron.
Yes.
We were just chilling out in the Junction for a little bit.
We were watching.
Watching another North. It was
weird.
It was something else.
It was weird. And, I was trying to watch it on my phone as the cell service, as more and more people started flooding in my area. When we left, you had to go to somewhere. I went somewhere. And I watched it on my phone. I didn't stay there because I had to meet up with someone else. And as the cell service was just fading away, I got to watch that stuff, and it was interesting, to say the least.
Any game that goes into more than one overtime is just weird. But this game felt especially weird for overtime games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just... What was the... Let me see the final stat line on that.
By the way, I have updated the records. I have a 59-17 record compared to your 60-16 record in our competition.
Yeah. Sean White still hasn't thrown a touchdown.
No.
They put up 46 points, and Sean White doesn't throw a single touchdown.
I think Peyton Barber didn't have that bad of a game. Had 37 carries for 120 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to go on the play-by-play here, because I just want to see these drives. A lot of stuff happened in overtime.
I tweeted it out during the game. I would not be surprised if Sean White was the next big SEC quarterback. He's getting a lot of playing time early. I did say that. He's getting a lot of playing time early. He's already thrown for 805 yards in how many games? Four games. So 200 yards a game. He's only thrown one interception. The no touchdowns concerns me, but he doesn't exactly have any receivers. So, I think he's a quarterback that they can build around, and it would not surprise me at all if next year we see him have a pretty good year. Because I don't think there's any other quarterback, especially in the West right now, that is getting any meaningful playing time that is one that we can say, hey, he's going to be the next big guy. I think Sean White has a shot at being the best in the West next year. So,
all right.
But I'm wasting our time saying that.
Okay. So, yeah, Arkansas beat Auburn 54-46, quadruple overtime. Long game, four overtimes, always
a lot of
fun.
Overtimes.
Yeah. Our next game is...
Oh, no.
Alabama beat Tennessee 19-14.
I really feel for our friend Charlie Burris.
I'm surprised he hasn't died yet. I'm out of just pure agony. I mean,
this game was something else.
This has been a rough year for Tennessee fans. For UT fans.
Tennessee.
UT.
We agreed on this. We agreed that Tulsa was UT.
That's true. Well, it has been a pretty tough year for Tulsa fans after what Memphis did to them. Go Tigers.
The point of the matter is they'll lose to Houston.
No.
Jake Coker actually had a pretty good game here. 21 of 27, 247 yards. It's not bad.
Not bad. Really neither of these quarterbacks necessarily had an incredible game. I mean, Jay Coker had a serviceable game, but I mean, he didn't throw a touchdown.
No, but anytime an Alabama quarterback throws for over 200 yards, that's good for them. And
the
21 of 27,
man, the Kiffin effect.
Yeah, I just he was on point outside of one interception.
Certainly. So yeah, that's fun. Vanderbilt actually beat an SEC team, if that's anything worth talking about.
They beat defending, or two-time defending
SEC East champion. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen now?
What's going to happen now?
Vanderbilt's going to win the East. Somehow, some way, because Missouri's been doing it for years. So once you beat Missouri, it's bound to happen to you, right?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. I'd be depressed if that actually did happen. I'd be genuinely depressed. So,
I don't think.
So, Ethan, it's too bad that I don't have a fight song to play this week.
I mean, you could.
Well, but there's no point, because A&M got slaughtered. There's no point, because I would play an A&M fight song. And you would probably up and leave the show.
Ole Miss won 20-33. Nothing really. Let's not touch this because it was bad.
Kyle Allen had a crappy game. Anything other than that, pretty irrelevant. LSU beat Western Kentucky. Woo! Leonard Fournette had a good game. Brandon Harris has had three straight good games. So,
woohoo!
All right, yeah. Okay, so, quick announcement. We're not going to have a show on Thursday because it's a bye week, and what is there to talk about? So it's time to make some picks for next week. Whoa. All right.
Yep.
Let's do it. Our first game is the South Carolina Gamecocks play the Texas A&M Aggies at 11 a.m. on the SEC Network.
Where A&M will be wearing like glow-in-the-dark helmets at 11 a.m.
Yes, in the daytime.
Yeah.
A&M wins.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah.
This will be a stupid football game.
No, I'll tell you this. I think Texas A&M is going to score at least 35. I think it'll be like 35-10. 41-10 is my prediction for that. South Carolina's defense. Ethan.
I'm not that confident.
South Carolina's defense.
So
next up,
over to the Plains.
Yes, next up, Auburn plays Ole Miss at 11 a.m. on ESPN.
You want to know? Last time, Ole Miss played Tigers on an away game at 11 a.m.
The best undefeated Tiger team in the country. That's right, Memphis is better than LSU. Yes, sir. Not really. Beat them, yes.
Ooh.
Not really. Memphis isn't better. No.
I'm going to pick Auburn just for the fun of this.
Okay. First differing pick. I'm picking the Rebels, and I'm sad about it. Like, really sad about it. Next game is, and this is going to have to go quickly. Yeah, this is the thing. Woo! All right. Yeah. We have to go quickly.
Okay, stop it.
Yeah, we have to end this show soon. Georgia, Florida plays in Jacksonville. This game is always usually weird. It's 2:30 UTM on CBS, as I just mentioned. Your pick?
Florida.
Okay, next up, Arkansas and UT Martin on the SEC Network.
I don't think there should be a question here.
Arkansas wins. Next up, Vanderbilt and Houston. Oh, my God. Vanderbilt's playing at Houston.
UH is going to win big. Huge.
Houston or UH or whatever. And finally, actually not finally, because we're going to pick another game. We've already said this. We're going to explain it later. Tennessee and Kentucky play at 6:30 p.m. on the SEC Network. You are looking live game. Any pick here? Tennessee, Kentucky?
Give me Kentucky, actually.
Ooh.
Give me Kentucky.
Well, all right. I'm going to pick Tennessee. I'll pick Tennessee.
Okay. So we have
two different picks.
Two different picks?
That's correct.
Cool.
So you will either take a 3-point lead, or I will take a 1-point lead. Or yep. you will remain your 1-point lead. And by the way, Ethan, we've already promised each other this, that since we're picking Houston right now, we got to pick the other AAC team. Don't we?
I mean, we... Okay.
We have to.
We picked Houston because it was also an SEC game.
Well,
but
no
who is
one
Memphis
cares.
Playing?
Memphis is playing...
Who is Memphis playing?
Memphis is playing Tulane in the Liberty Bowl.
Memphis.
All right, so now that's fun. We've gotten our picks for next week, and now let's get into some questions. The Large Dog Trademark at KT Vanderlip on Twitter asks these questions. Question one, grade the performance of the below in the Kentucky game A to F. A, offense. Ethan, you can go first.
Why don't you go first? I'm going to look up these questions.
Let's
too.
Not count pluses and minuses since he simply said A to F. He didn't mention any pluses or minuses,
yeah.
So A.
A? You gave him an A?
Yeah, the offense an A.
I'd give him a 100. A plus, plus, plus. All the pluses.
This is A to F. I told you no pluses. I mean, numbers are stupid.
So,
defense. Defense is next. I'll say a... you?
No, you go ahead.
No, you go first. I've already said this.
B plus.
I told you. Oh, my God. fine, we'll put pluses and minuses. An A minus.
Okay.
Special teams. Weston Graves missed a 26-yard field goal. A C minus.
I mean, I was going to give him a B. That's the first mistake he's made all year. I'm going to be lenient. So
I'm a harsh grader then.
Yeah.
Fans pregame.
I didn't think they were too bad, but I didn't think it was anything spectacular. B minus.
Yeah, B minus for me. Fans in game, A plus.
A plus. Wow, it was loud.
Yeah, it was quite loud. And people wore black.
Yeah.
Fans post game. That stadium was empty about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, the student section emptied out pretty quickly, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
C?
Let's go with a C there.
Question number two. What are you guys going to do during the off week? Watch football.
Yeah.
Watch football and probably
just
eat
pizza.
Just
lay on my couch and watch football.
Probably eat pizza, too. Yeah. Question three. Has Ole Miss figured something out, or has A&M just completely blown up?
Why not both?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I think that A&M has blown up. But also Ole Miss, I think the return of Laramie Tunsil helped them especially in the running game. I think they had 230 rushing yards, and that's a mediocre at best rushing attack. So,
I mean, I
think it's both.
When you look at
and I don't know if
Chad Kelly still throwing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, Chad Kelly threw three picks, and you still find a way to win by 20. You're doing the, something's going on
now,
right there.
I don't know if the land shark, blah, want to throw up saying that, defense necessarily was the reason why Kyle Allen threw 14 straight incomplete passes.
No.
But he
was just off.
Mm-hmm, I think, and people are some A&M fans are speculating that he's injured. He got hurt in the Alabama game.
Some are speculating that he got hurt against us.
Ooh, I don't know when that would happen. And Kyler Murray isn't coming in the game. Apparently, he's in Kevin Sumlin's thing. He's in the doghouse, as they say, with Kevin Sumlin.
He cursed out an offensive coordinator. That happens.
Yeah. Certainly.
And someone was allegedly drunk in a hotel in Memphis or something like that. So I just... Yeah, A&M does not
Walking
have good things
in Memphis.
Happening.
Memphis. Drinking in Memphis.
Ole Miss. I mean, I'm not going to say Ole Miss is 100% fixed. I just... That they figured something out.
Certainly.
So, and then the last question...
Do you guys think it's shameless self-promotion to tell people to write reviews on iTunes if they like the show? Yes, it's shameless. Shameless.
Absolutely.
Shameless, yeah. Why not? Go write a review on iTunes for the people that are listening right now. If you're listening on iTunes, go to iTunes and write a review. I've never written a review in iTunes, so I don't know how, but figure it out. For whom the podcast tolls, where you figure it out. So, that'll pretty much just wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. This is kind of an abrupt ending since we breezed through the end, but that's all right. Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, just Dak Prescott is one of the greatest to ever play in the SEC, and people that say otherwise are people you don't need in your life. So.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's about it, yeah.
Okay, that'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. We're not going to have a show on Thursday. So this show will be titled...
Game by week.
This show will be titled Kentucky Recap / Bye Week Preview, since there's nothing to preview. But anyways,
yeah.
On Tuesday, we will recap the bye week. Woo! Yeah, I guess we can just talk about what we did on Halloween. Spooky. We'll have some sound effects.
Yep.
We'll have some spooky sound effects, although that'll be November by that time. But anyways, and we're going to talk about the SEC, and hopefully we'll get some questions. But until then, thank you all for listening, and bye-bye, everybody.